Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, stevejonesshow.com. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at stevejonespsu. And the host of the show is on a very well-deserved vacation this week. I'm Sean Carey, so we'll be in the Sunbury Motors studio with you. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So what we're going to do this week, we are going to, and I've had a chance to go back through our show archives from way over a year, and throughout the week we're going to replay some of the best interviews we've had on this show. Today's going to have a Penn State feel to it. I figured why not, since today is the beginning of Big Ten football media days, so we'll start to hear a lot more about Penn State football. And as Steve mentioned on Friday's show, while you were perusing some online locations or some papers or whatnot, you may have encountered some, you know, Penn State stories over the last few days as we just crossed over the fifth anniversary of the day when the NCAA sanctions came down on Penn State. But boy, come a long way since then. Of course, last year, turning it around since the Ohio State game, making it into the Big Ten championship game, defeating Wisconsin, and heading to the Rose Bowl. So such great expectations for this team this year. I think it's pretty safe to say that they'll be ranked in the top 10 preseason before the season gets underway, which is 40 days away. The Penn State football here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So we ask that you hang with us. We invite you to stay with us because we will give you the best Penn State coverage. And, of course, we'll hear from the top Penn State beat writers from publication to online publication over the next several months. And, of course, here in the next few weeks, too, to, you know, whet your appetite, get you fired up for the 2017 football season, which is fast approaching. We can focus a little more now on football. In case you did not hear earlier today over on our brother station Eagle 107, the Seawolves Grove 11 and 12 year old majors in the Little League State Championship out in Lackawanna County. Unfortunately, they were eliminated from the tournament today. It was a elimination contest, and it was Johnsonburg Kane defeating Seawolves Grove by a score of 3-1. Aiden Zimmerman, the starting pitcher for Johnsonburg Kane, with a solo shot in the top half of the fifth inning, pretty much locked it up for Johnsonburg Kane. So they will continue in the loser's bracket, continue to fight their way through there. But a big congratulations to Seawolves Grove, which has accomplished so much here in the last month in postseason play, winning districts and also taking the sectional championship just last Thursday. And Seawolves Grove Juniors, they will be starting their postseason. They'll be starting another postseason tournament coming up later in the week. So all the best to Seawolves Grove Juniors. So coming up later here on the Best of the Steve Jones Show, which, by the way, since it is a Monday, it is brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. When was the last time you checked your insurance policy? If something were to happen to you, do you have the right coverage? So everything is going to be taken care of. So it doesn't matter if we're talking business insurance, personal insurance. Maybe you need renter's insurance or fire or flood insurance. Any type of insurance You tell them what kind of policy you need and the price you want to pay each month, and they will customize a policy for you. And if something were to happen, they will go to bat for you as if it happened to them. So go to PurdyInsurance.com. It's Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. They have been with us here on the show since day one, and we thank them very much for their support of our show here on WKOK. So Steve will be back next Tuesday. There is a Phillies game actually next Monday afternoon here on WKOK. So Steve will be back with us a week from tomorrow. I mentioned the Phillies here a second ago. The Phillies will be starting a series tonight with the Houston Astros. The Phillies getting a 6-3 win over the reeling Milwaukee Brewers yesterday. The Brewers were swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates going into that weekend set with the Phillies. So now coming out of the All-Star break, the Phillies are 5-4. Overall record 34-62. But they get a big test tonight. The best team in the American League, the Houston Astros. The record is 65-33. They come into town for a three-game set tonight at Citizens Bank Park. Vince Velasquez, 2-5. Will be on the mound for the Phillies going up against right-hander Brad Peacock, who is 8-1. So that'll be your series opener tonight for the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park at 7:05. We will have On Deck beginning at 6:30 with Jim Jackson here. And, of course, Scott Fransky, Larry Anderson will have the call beginning at 7:05 this evening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Another big baseball story that broke just after lunchtime today is dealing with the Los Angeles Dodgers and their ace, Clayton Kershaw. He had to leave his game on Sunday, yesterday, against the Braves after two innings with lower back stiffness. And if you can remember, last season he missed a couple of months with back trouble. So initial prognosis says that this current back injury, this could sideline Kershaw for 4 to 6 weeks, although he may see another doctor before the Dodgers know his official timetable that he will be out. So at this point, he could be out 4 to 6 weeks. Dodgers currently have the best record in baseball, 68-31, comfortable 10.5-game lead in the National League West. So you're up to date on that. Phillies matchup tonight with Houston. And as we mentioned, throughout the week here on WKOK and the Best of the Steve Jones Show, we will be going back in time and replaying some of the best interviews that we've had on the show. And this guy was a fixture at Penn State for close to 50 years. So if there was a student that was away from home for the very first time, you could consider this guy the connection between that student and home. Talking about Mike the Mailman. Year ago, April 2016, Steve had a chance to speak with him on his retirement day.
The retirement of Mike the Mailman, 48 years at Penn State. Michael, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for jumping on board. 48 years. What took you so long?
I don't know. I couldn't pass the exit exam.
What are the emotions the last day, or is it something you think that's going to hit you Monday?
Well, you know, when I came back for lunch, there was a group of people here with all these wonderful gifts and all these wonderful greetings, and I think that's when it really hit me. I said, wow, it looks like it's for real. They gave me a rocking chair like you do after so many years. Yeah. So I'm rarely speechless, but I was really pretty choked up at that moment. I think it's really going to happen. So that sealed the deal for me. That right at 12 o'clock, I said, wow.
They usually give you a chair at 25 years. If you had hung on for two more, I think they would have given you a table.
Oh, yeah.
So
poor play on my part. Bad play.
You came out of Williamsport Area Community College, and you had an associate's degree in engineering, computer science, technology.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What did you want to do with that, and then what then transferred you to thinking about getting into postal work?
Well, you know, I wanted to be a computer scientist, what I did. But the only jobs at the time, back in the 60s, you got to remember that was a long time ago. Of course, I was a very young kid. The only job was available was Eastman Kodak. And I'm just a homebody. And I said, you know, the job offers is good, but I think I want to stay home here. And so I passed that up. My dad said, why don't you try to get a job at the post office? So I took his advice. I got the job. I went to Penn State at night. I worked the night shift once a daytime at Penn State. And then part-time I worked here. And I said, the first day here, I said to my wife, I said, Katie, I found a place that I really like. And eventually the people who worked here retired. And eventually I got to being so much so in charge or whatever you call that, I started working here. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
it
has been ever since. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's the amazing part of it, because you first came here to State College in what would be Joe Paterno's third season, 1968, for goodness sakes.
In fact, I remember I was sitting beside Rip Engel at the barbershop down on Allen Street. And I said, "Hey, Rip, how you doing?" "Hey, good. How you doing?" That's like unbelievable. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And it's still a lot of fun. And actually, I just got a call from the Postmaster General. I thought it was a prank, but she said, "I'm really the Postmaster General."
Well, it's April 1st, Mike. You picked a day where it's possible to be pranked.
I know. Anything could happen. A lot of people still think that it's a joke. The guy in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette kept calling me and saying, "Mike, are you sure?" Because he said, "My reputation is on the line here. If this is an April Fool joke, I'm done." I said, "No, you're good." You know, that was funny.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I think when I saw you out in Las Vegas, we talked briefly. I think you said you wanted to travel, right?
Well, I will eventually get to all the away football and basketball games. And all the wrestling matches. That's what I really want to do.
That's great.
I really do. My favorite sport is definitely wrestling. I mean, mm-hmm. I go way back with wrestling, and it's just a lot of. And I have a couple guys who are going to nearly retiring, and we're gonna just take a little RV and just go to these games, see what the other campuses are like, other communities are like. It should be fun. And most of the other time I'll be home doing some things at home. But my wife and I have a give and take. You go and I go and she goes, and you know how that works.
Right. Exactly. It's fascinating. What other places have you been? Because this is, you know, this is a job. It's every single day. I mean, 5 days, 6 days a week, whatever, you're going to be out there working. Yeah. How much traveling have you? I saw you in Las Vegas, which I thought was great to see you out, because you're at Orleans Arena with John Neese and the gang. But how much traveling have you had a chance to do?
Not a lot. You know, we go see our daughter in art down around Philadelphia, and we've been to some games in the Philadelphia area, but not a lot. I have not done a lot of traveling. I really am a homebody, but given the opportunity of a Penn State sporting event, you count me in. I love doing this. So it will be a new adventure for me to see all these different campuses, which I want to do.
Well, what we'd like to do at some point, once you get a chance to see all of them, we'd love to get you back on and get your evaluation of each, and the arenas, too.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Because I think that would be a lot of fun, just to get someone's perspective seeing things for the first time.
Yeah, that's good. I will do that. Definitely do that.
And, and when it gets to Illinois, just do it a Cliff Notes thing, and we'll just move quickly. All right. all right, so that's what you want to do. One thing that you've done, it's... Joe Paterno always said, look, make an impact. Now, you can impact a life. You can impact a couple of lives, your wife, children, whatever. But there's so many people that say you had an impact on them.
You know, and it's funny you say, because I wasn't aware of that at the time that I'm doing it, because I'm just who I am. I'm just me being myself. But since it's been announced like 3 or 4 weeks ago that I was retiring, the people have come back and told me like various stories, like the first time they met me or the first time they mailed something. It's been so humbling. And I'm like, wow! I didn't know at the time what I was doing, but I was just being me, and I'm just overwhelmed by all this.
Where did the sense of humor and the work ethic come from? Is that from your parents?
Yeah, but mostly my mother.
Your mom? Okay.
She lived to be 94 years old.
Oh, God bless her.
She kept saying, I think God forgot about me. she was great. I'll tell you.
So what was it about her sense of humor and that customer service part that I think every single worker in this country could take a little lesson from you on what customer service means?
But, a lot of these young kids are coming in the post office for the first time. And I can remember when I went away to school the first time, I was petrified. And these kids are here, and I could see it in their eyes that, wow, what do I do here? And I just sort of took them under my wing and said, hey, this is not as bad as you think it is. And they responded very well. We've had a lot of fun with these kids. And I think the kids have said, wow, this guy, he's taking care of us. That's what I want. And a lot of international kids, I've taken care of them because I can't imagine doing what they're doing in another country. I cannot imagine being in a China or Japan or wherever and just doing what they're doing, and I just help them out. And I know I'm their first contact with a U.S. government official, sort of government official, and when I go downtown and they see me, they're so happy to see me. It's like, it makes me feel good being this way. You know what I'm saying? It makes my heart feel good when these kids are happy, and that's what I'm trying to do. Everyone happy.
Who gave you the nickname Mike the Mailman?
Well, a long time ago, Someone said, someone asked you about, what do you call it, Mike the Clerk? I said, that doesn't have a really good ring. Why don't we call it Mike the Mailman? It's a lot, even though I'm not a mailman. I mean, the guys who work downtown have accepted the fact that I'm not really a mailman, but I can use their name.
Right.
But it must have been like 38 years ago. Someone said, if someone brought me a stamp, it said Mike the Mailman, a rubber stamp. Said, from now on, you're going to be Mike the Mailman. He handed it to me, and ever since, I've been Mike the Mailman.
What does it feel like for you? How humbling has it been for you, for example, that you're introduced at various functions now, Thon in particular? I mean, could you ever have imagined that and the response that you get?
Not even close. I mean, it's funny. We took our daughter, Michaela, up to Boston to go to grad school, mm-hmm. and we went into the Cheers bar for just to look around because you hear about it. And the people are always taking pictures.
The Bull and Finch.
Yeah. Yep. So we come out of the Cheers bar, and there's like people are still taking pictures. One guy came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "We all graduated from Penn State in 1993. Are you Mike the Mailman?" I said, "Yeah." It's like it's just like when I was in Las Vegas, there's like 18 gazillion people knew me. The guys are with me. They expect that now. I always don't, but I'm always surprised. There's been so many Penn Staters I've talked to, and people come back, homecoming, whenever they come back, just to say hi. And they're always happy I'm here because everything else at Penn State is changing, but I'm still here. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do now, but I don't know.
Okay, Mike the Mailman, have they sent you any notes or letters in the past week congratulating you on this?
Oh, yeah, they have, yes. And actually, Dr. Barron came in today to bring me a proclamation, and he brought me some cookies, which is great cookies, and I didn't even let him wait in line. I haven't come right to the front.
Oh, very nice. Well done. That to be even to the end, understanding where the bread is buttered.
Exactly right.
That is really good. That's really good. Mike, was there ever any point where, you know, look, it's 48 years. Any point where you said, you know, maybe I'll look a little bit just to kind of see, you know, what else is out there, or that temptation never came up?
No. You know, every day, I mean, I walk in the store and I say to myself, it's showtime. So, you know, I go out there and it's not, I don't consider this a job. I mean, I've had too much fun. I mean, people like what I do, but I also like what I do. I mean, I've told the same joke for 40 plus years. It's funny to me. I mean, it might not be, but the freshman is like, oh, that's really funny, but I've told it many, many, many times, and it never gets old for me, but it's a lot of fun.
Honorary Homecoming Parade Grand Marshal.
Yeah.
And also, at one point, you served as the barista at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so how did that go? Because this is not just handing out a stamp, pal.
No, I know. And the funny thing, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Really?
Ever. My wife's just said,
What time do you get to work? Do you get to work, what, 6 in the morning?
Something like this. 6:03, yep.
Yep.
6:03. But, yeah, but I don't know. But it was fun doing the coffee. I learned how to make that. It was a riot. That's a tough job. That's a real job. What I have is, I call it an adventure. It's not a job. It's a good time.
What was the toughest thing they had you make?
Something with the mocha. Is there a mocha or something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Mocha cream, something
yes.
like that. I don't know. I don't know any coffee terms, but it was tough. But there was a guy guiding me along. But it was fun.
A barista.
A barista.
God,
wow,
that's great. When you look back on all of this, you know, what kind? I mean, could you have envisioned the kind of life that you've had and the acceptance in the community that you've had?
Oh, no, not a chance. I come here every day and do what I do and not think much of it. I enjoy it so much, and I've never had, you know, even one day, I can remember one time, this is a true story, I came in on a Monday, Veterans Day, I didn't know that it was a holiday, and when they found out downtown, I had been harassed for that for years, and I came to work when I was supposed to go, because when I had a partner for, I said, Teddy, where are you? He said, Mike, it's a holiday. I said, oh, my heavens. That's a guy who really likes to go to his job.
Yeah.
But,
Mike, no matter what, everybody's going to have ups and downs in life. Have there been some times where your personality comes out, the one-liner comes out, and you've always had the ability to do that and make the person on the other side of the counter feel better? Have there been some tough times where even you had to kind of like work yourself to that?
Well, for a customer, yes, I've done it. But for myself, I have really been blessed with first of all, with great parents and great sisters and my family. I'm a lucky guy. And then when I go to the dance marathon and see these kids who are fighting for their lives, I mean, I don't know how anyone could ever be down. I mean, and I try to tell that to people that this is a good time. Make the best of it. I've been very fortunate. I've never had a down. Never had a bad day. I'm really lucky.
Well, I hope you have a bunch of great days coming up, and I hope you enjoy traveling all over the country and that we run into each other often as time goes. Mike, you are a treasure. You're a blessing, and everybody really appreciates everything you've done for 48 years here. The impact you've had is something that I think few could ever envision, but you're the one that made it happen. Thank you for everything.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you very much.
Mike Herr. Mike the Mailman. On his final day after 48 years at Penn State.
And we played that originally on April the 1st. Yeah, April Fool's Day in 2016. Yeah, no fooling. People thought, is he really retiring? Yeah, of all the days to retire, you choose April Fool's Day. Best of Steve Jones Show continues, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Next half hour, we've got baseball talk with Richard Justice of MLB.com after we check the news on WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And our Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Quality insurance policies, customized to fit your needs and your budget. And when you hit that snag in life, that little thing called life, they are there for you. Just a call away. purdyinsurance.com or pay them a visit on Market Street in Sunbury. Purdy Insurance. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve on vacation this week. I'm Sean Carey. We do have some important weather information to share with you. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning. Now, this is not a watch. This is a tornado warning, and this is for Northumberland, Montour, and Columbia counties. Again, that is for Montour, Northumberland, and Columbia counties for a tornado warning. So that means conditions are very, very ripe, and there is a possibility of formation, a possible cloud formation of tornadoes or tornadic activity in those counties. There's a possibility that could happen. So if you happen to see something like that in your neck of the woods, make sure you are in a sheltered location. Be safe. And, of course, if we get any more information here, we'll make sure we pass it along your way here on WKOK. So, once again, at this point, just issued a few moments ago from the National Weather Service, a tornado warning for Northumberland, Montour, and Columbia counties. We'll be talking baseball in just a moment with Richard Justice of MLB.com. Conversation that Steve had with Richard a little over a month ago. First up, this day in sports history, 1978, Billy Martin was fired for the first of three times as manager of the New York Yankees. 1984, Terry Bradshaw retired from the National Football League. And it was 12 years ago today, 2005, Lance Armstrong won his seventh consecutive Tour de France. And that is this day in sports history. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. If you miss any of our live shows, don't forget the show is now available as a podcast, not only on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com, but also now available on both iTunes and Google Play. We are very fortunate to have Richard Justice join us a little over a month ago for some great baseball conversation.
Very pleased to be joined by one of the absolute best in the business from MLB.com, Richard Justice. Richard, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thank you for having me.
I want to start with Pujols. Give us, as someone who has witnessed so much in his career, where he ranks among, in your mind, historically, some of the other great players that you've had the privilege of covering.
Well, when you rank first baseman, Lou Gehrig is better. But right. anybody else, Jimmy Fox, Eddie Murray, anybody you want to name, Orlando Cepeda, Pujols is in that conversation, if not above it. His legacy will be that when he was with the Cardinals, he was the best player in baseball or one of the three best players, and that the Cardinals won more games and won multiple World Series. I believe in terms of he's going to have 3,000 hits. In terms of the 3,000 hits and the home runs and the championships, I believe he's right there with Babe Ruth, you know, to win multiple championships while doing all that. You know, and I think from a personality standpoint, in 2001 when he went to spring training, he played only a handful of games above A-ball. They weren't going to keep him, but he was so disciplined. His work ethic was so resolute. He was the 402nd player taken in the 99 draft. Wouldn't sign until they gave him $60,000, and turned out to be one of the great players of our generation. So, to paraphrase Bum Phillips, I don't know what class he's in, but it doesn't take long to call roll.
I want to ask you about the Astros, because you covered this organization for a period of time during the course of your career. What has allowed them to ascend to this spot, and how smart have they been management-wise to get here?
Well, it's been a painful journey in that a guy named Jim Crane, a Houston businessman, bought the team in 2011, late in 2011, and he said two things. The organization had really declined, and he said two things. I'm going to hire a general manager that's great in the draft, done great in the draft. Jeff Luhnow had done that with the Cardinals, and I'm going to give him the patience and the resources to rebuild it. Now, look, I remember telling Jim Leland what they were going to do, and he just rolled his eyes and said, I've heard that before. It is painful to do one of these teardowns in that your TV ratings go to zero. You lose 100 games three times. These are competitive people, and the ballpark's empty. But what they did was they accumulated a ton of young talent, energetic young talent, and then last offseason they decided, hey, let's put the finishing touch on with some veterans, Carlos Beltran, Brian McCann, Josh Reddick, Nori Aoki, Charlie Morton. And so they're pretty much a perfect team now. You know, are they 41-16 perfect? No. But when their top two starters, Keuchel and McCullers, are healthy, they would have made the playoffs last year if they'd have been healthy in September. But when they're healthy, they're a team without really any weaknesses.
Which is interesting that you say that about them, because they've been able to build this thing. In a lot of ways, do you see, because of the background of the people involved, a Cardinals imprint on how they do things? And beyond, obviously, the stealing of information and things like that.
Yeah, I think, yes. I mean, that's where Jeff Leno cut his teeth in baseball, and he had great drafts. I mean, look at where he found Matt Carpenter in the draft, and Matt Adams, and Alan Craig. I mean, they had a string of great drafts. There's an arms race now in terms of the data and analytics, and teams like the Rays and the Dodgers and the Astros. It's what's the next great thing. People think of analytics, they think it's a statistic. Now it's everything. It's gathering data on where you deploy scouts, how much you pay draft picks, how many scouts do you send to Venezuela, how many do you send to the Dominican, all of that stuff. So it's just collecting information. But you know the thing about the Astros, they're really good. But, you know, you can be good, but it's another thing to be interesting. And in guys like George Springer and Carlos Correa, 22 years old, and Jose Altuve, they have guys that are just a joy to watch play every day. And this 10-game winning streak, it's one of those little magic times when everything clicks. You know, your stars have to be stars, but then you get contributions from up and down the roster.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that about the draft, because obviously, you know, when I'm not doing Penn State work and so forth, I have the privilege of doing the State College Spikes, who happen to be a Cardinals minor league affiliate in the New York Penn League, which all means I also see Tri-City, which is the Astros affiliate.
Right.
And it's amazing the cut above talent level that they're able to find out of a draft or even grassroots from the scouting that you have. You can actually see it in both organizations, even at a level like this.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Luhnow's first two draft picks in 2012 were Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers Jr., and they were the American League Player and Pitcher of the Month for May. He took one slot, the number one pick slot, and Correa was not a consensus pick. He got him from below the slot and had enough money to lure Lance McCullers from going to the University of Florida. And the little things like that pay off in the long term. You know, and another thing about analytics is pitch usage is a big deal. If you come here and your slider and your curveball, if your curveball is the best pitch you have, they're going to ask you to throw more curveballs, not less. They ask you to focus on what's working. So it's a lot of different things. Again, though, I mean, they're really fun to watch, and they have a great mix of youth and experience. And I saw somebody in Dallas last week wrote, well, they're set up for the next 10 years. You never, you know, the Cubs are supposed to be set up for the next 20 years. What you got right now is lightning in a bottle, and you got to ride it as long as you have it.
Right, exactly. So now, what lessons, now Philly fans are listening to this right now, so what lessons can Philly's fans, what can their organization learn from what you just talked about that would help them going forward and can make them solid for the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I would say they're there because what they have is a great front office, a great president of baseball operations, a great general manager, and what works now. And they have that. Their manager, Pete McCann, has done very good. You're going to have highs and lows with young players. You got to throw them in there. They're going to adjust. The league's going to adjust. You have to come back. You know, one of the things we assumed about the Cubs was they had all these young players, Baez and Schwarber and Contreras and Almora, and we all just assumed their career arc was going to go straight up, no bumps. Well, that never happens. We've seen them all struggle at times this year. Schwarber struggled struggled mightily. So you have to be patient. And the Yankees are a good lesson to this. The Yankees, a couple of years ago, brought their players in for a meet and greet with season ticket holders. And the player all the fans wanted to meet was Greg Bird, the first baseman. And they realized our fans, if they see young guys that have a chance to get better and are playing their butts off, it won't be the typical no-patient New York Yankee fan. They understand the big picture. And I think what you've seen is that plan that the Yankees had has paid off this year with Aaron Judge, with Gary Sanchez. Bird's hurt right now, but they're headed in the right direction. Are they good enough? Well, they're sure fun to watch.
They're a lot of fun to watch, and that's been, I think, one of the great interesting turnarounds in philosophy. Without George Steinbrenner there, Hal Steinbrenner seems to have a different philosophy. Is that fair?
That is very fair, and he's the one that told me the story about the fans wanting to see Greg Bird. And the other thing is data. He said, look, I don't think we should have to have a $200 million payroll to win the World Series. Look around. I think the payroll rank of the last 8 last 10 World Series winners has been 8. I think that's right. Something like that. So we have to be great in player development. So what they did in trading 2 relievers last year, they bumped up their farm system, which was already pretty good. They have the best farm system in baseball. They've had a perfect season. They're young guys for the most part. Have played well at the big league level. They're veteran guys like Ellsbury and Jacoby. Ellsbury and Gardner have played well. And they have waves of more talent on the way. And that's how you have to do it. But when things go bad, and with young players, they're going to be highs and lows. There's going to be days when you think, oh, my God, this kid can't. We'll never be able to play. And you know, you don't know, but you have to put them out there and let them. The key is staying the course.
It's interesting to talk about that, about the youth movements across the board in the game. Does the game, do the people in baseball do well enough, in your opinion, of getting people to understand this? For example, Pujols hits his 600th home run. Now, this is a veteran guy who's been around. Everybody knows who he is. But with the Stanley Cup playoffs and, of course, the NBA, and we know the investment ESPN's made in the NBA, are they getting dominated by other sports? And if so, how can they change that perception?
Well, I mean, the sport has never been healthy. Revenues, attendance, 73 million last year. Local radio and TV ratings are skyrocketing. Now, one of the things Commissioner Rob Manfred says when he goes around and speaks to players is, we've never been better represented with young talent, on the field, off the field. Mike Trout, Clayton Kershaw, Andrew McCutchen, not a young guy anymore, and we're going to promote the hell out of those guys. So I think we're seeing they're doing their best to make sure people know that Clayton Kershaw is one of the great pitchers that's ever toed a rubber, but that he is also a guy that represents everything you want a professional athlete to be. So yeah, it's a matter of telling the story and keeping it going. You know, we're coming off a great World Series, and what we're seeing is, you know, just there's 54 first-time All-Stars in the last 2 All-Star games. And this year we're going to see Correa. We're going to see Aaron Judge. We're going to see Eric Thames, guys like that. So the game is changing and rapidly, and it's going to take some time to move in the post-Jeter, post-Big Poppy era for people to fall in love with these guys.
Which then brings me to the article that you wrote on MLB.com, 10 players worthy of first All-Star game nod. In your opinion, that would be?
Well, the front of that, the top of the list is Aaron Judge. I mean, it's amazing. When you're a Yankee kid, you're hyped, and he's fulfilled all that. I mean, he's handled it like a veteran. And there are others. You know, Carlos Correa has been just unbelievable. The Astros have 2. George Springer and Carlos Correa have just been 2. They play with a certain energy, and they, you know, and they're just you're just a joy to watch play. To me, they represent a lot of what the game has become and what we want the game to be.
Interesting. How do you evaluate right now the state of hitting? Because the percentage of the ball being in play, when the ball's in play, the game gets really exciting. And, you know, a big baseball fan that I am, a well-pitched game is a beautiful game to watch. But is the ball in play enough, or is there too many attempts at big swing and not enough at building innings?
Well, there's that's also a Pujols question. He's never struck out 100 times in his career in a season. At a time when we accept strikeouts as we look at them differently, Albert was never one that accepted that. But in terms of analytics, what players now understand, what teams now understand is good things happen when you get the ball in the air. And so players accept strikeouts. Now, you mentioned it slows the game down. This comes back to the commissioner's obsession with pace of game. Not so much time of game, but pace of game, and keep the action moving. I think he hasn't said this, but I think the Arizona Fall League and some minor leagues have experimented with a pitch clock, and scouts who watch games after an inning, the pitch clock disappears, and when you leave the park, you say there's a better pace. So with more strikeouts and more home runs, you do have to do something to keep the game moving. In terms of are they going to cut down on strikeouts? I think no. I think the larger lesson is you get the ball in the air. That's how you make your money. That's how you win games. And I don't think that's going to change. Players are focusing now on that instead of hitting the ball on the ground.
One final question, Richard, and I'll let you go. And I thank you so much for your valuable time. I've enjoyed this very much. How do you view analytics? What analytics are useful to you, and which ones don't pass the smell test to you?
Well, it's all encompassing now, and it basically is just an arms race for information. You know, we used to think of it as just statistics. So I say to Jeff Luhnow, the Astros GM, who's all in, I say, well, wait, and this is what scouts will say. A computer can't find a player in Venezuela. And he said, no, that's true. But a database can tell you where the players come from in Venezuela, how many scouts each team deploys in Venezuela, what area of the country, how much they sign for, when they sign, what positions they play. So that's the way I view analytics. Now, it is, like we mentioned, I mentioned pitch usage, defensive alignment. It's all of that. The question comes down, what do you tell the players without clogging their mind? So Joe, I've had long talks with players, including Joey Votto, who's very into all of that. Like, what do you want to know, and what is too much? And I think what teams, the smart teams like the Dodgers have done now, just have people available to answer questions. What do you need to know about this pitcher tonight, about these hitters you're going to face, and all of that? It's here to stay, you know, and what is happening. Mark Antanasio, the owner of the Brewers, was at MIT visiting his son a couple years ago. And he sees a kid doing gaming, working on a gaming project. And the kid goes, hey, I do some baseball too. And he goes, yeah, what do you do? And he goes, I'm on retainer for the Astros. I'm doing a study on when is the optimal time in a game to steal a base. And I mentioned it to the Astros GM later, Jeff Luhnow, and he said, that's the kind of thing you're just trying to uncover each stone, make sure you're examining everything. But things like that, you're probably not going to learn anything. But you might, and then, you know, it's a little bit of money for something that could help us along the way. So that's what it is. It's all encompassing. It's in the NBA now in a huge way, and it's, you know, that's how we got the three-point shot. Teams realize you're better off shooting more threes than the old clear it out. And it's also more fun to watch, clear it out and isolate on Patrick Ewing down in the post.
Yeah, that's what I always tell everybody. If you take 18 shots, make 9 twos, you have 18 points. Right. You take 18 shots and make 6 threes, you've got 18 points.
Right. Simple. That's exactly right. And it's fun to watch.
As someone who does it for a living, I can tell you it's a lot fun to broadcast when threes are raining in left and right. Richard,
right.
Thanks so much. Greatly appreciate the time. This was fascinating, and I hope we can do this again.
Okay, appreciate it.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, one of the best in the business. Covered a lot of ground there. Could have covered a lot more, too. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.